Okay, welcome out, ladies and gentlemen. I had to pause there for a minute because there's a message that comes in when my storage is getting full. But anyway, we're here tonight on the 1st of February, year 2023. This is our By Yahweh's Design Family Chat Hour, and we've got quite a group here already. We've got 10 people here already. And so it's being recorded, and we'll open it up if anybody has comment or questions. My main thing for today was the fact that I'm getting a lot of feedback from a lot of different sources that say that Babylon is beginning to burn. So that's really good news for us. It's bad news for a lot of other folks, but it's really good news for us. So, again, I'll open it up on the floor if anybody has anything to report or question. Or you're with us now, Charles, so if you have anything you want to bring to the group, feel free to jump in, all right? Can everybody hear me all right?
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Let it all burn to the ground. That's in rebuild. I am. I'm gonna say I got popcorn. I know I got a pan and some cooking oil.
Well, I said years ago that when the Book of Revelation comes to pass and we're going to stand back and watch Babylon and all the merchants and all the government people just go up in flames, me and my friends, we're going to pop the top on some champagne and sit back on a hillside somewhere from a distance and just watch her burn to the ground. I got nothing in this Babylonian system that I want to survive. And that, unfortunately, that includes a lot of these zombies. A lot of people think that's kind of cruel, but I'm losing the empathy for people at this point. I mean, 3 years into this nonsense, how could you not know that the government lies, the media lies, the doctors lie, the hospitals lie, the pharmaceuticals lie, the churches are lying. In fact, most of the so-called trusted voices have turned out to be liars. How could you not know that at this point? It boggles my mind. So, again, I yield if anybody has anything they want to bring up or ask. Come on, Charles. I know you got something.
I have something.
Yeah, I want to hear from Charles, too.
Charles, you're muted, bud. At your end, you're muted, not my end. Okay. Now, try it again. It's not coming through. I've got, you're unmuted. Well, wait a minute. Something happened here. Okay, now it showed you as unmuted, and now I, that's bizarre. Hold on. Oh. There we go. Now, my end shows you is, let me try muting and unmuting. Let's see what happens. All right. See if that worked, Charles. No, it's not coming through. I don't know why.
It's probably the weather. My computer's still buffering.
Well, yeah, but Charles is here. We've got his video, which is a much broader signal than just voice. And yet, I'm showing him unmuted and he's muting and unmuting, and yet we're not picking up any voice. That's bizarre. Is there anything wrong with your system there, Charles, as far as your mic? Yeah, so I'm not hearing anything. It's like you're muted, but you're not muted. So I don't understand. I can't read lips, so I'm lost. Oh, he's gonna log out and then log back in. Kumri, you said you had something you wanted to talk about or ask or whatever. Are you there?
Yeah, give me 1 second.
Oh, all right. Go ahead.
Yay, another voice.
A voice from the wilderness.
Yeah.
Okay, my question is going to be a little off topic. But a buddy of mine asked me a pretty interesting question today, and I answered it the best I could, but he wanted, like, a further explanation. And that's why I called you, even though I forgot about the radio show. His was on suicide. And the way I answered it was I told him there's two types of suicide. There's an honorable suicide, in which you won't be punished for, and then there's a modern suicide of, oh, my God, I got made fun of on TikTok, so I'm going to just end my life. That's a dishonorable suicide, so you will be punished for it. But I told him the honorable suicide is if you're captured by the enemy or the enemy's coming for you and you know they're going to torture you to give away the position of your allies, you take your life to protect your loved ones and your allies. You're not going to be punished for it because it's an honorable suicide. Then he asked, well, what if you're terminally ill? And I told him, I'm going to get a better answer, but for now, I think it would come down to how much pain you're in, because Yahweh doesn't want us suffering, right? So my question would be for you, Pastor Dan, or Dad, is would that be an acceptable suicide if you are in extreme amount of pain and you're dying anyway from a horrible disease, not taking into account under God's type of rule, we wouldn't be in terminal illness, but in today's society, would that be an acceptable suicide in God's eyes or not?
Well, that's a very loaded question, and that's a very specific to the situation.
Where in the Bible does it say that you're going to get punished for suicide? I don't find any scripture here at all. Because Yahweh knows what we're going to do in our whole life from beginning to end. He knows when our life begins that at the end we will commit suicide or not. And as for punishment-wise, I used to believe in hell, but I don't believe in hell anymore because our Father is loving and merciful and all that. So nobody is going to go to hell if they commit suicide. But I do believe that if you're in this lifetime and you're here to accomplish a purpose and you commit suicide before that purpose is accomplished, I believe that you're going to have to come back and do it again.
Well, that's what I told him. That's what I explained to him. I told him there is no hell. You're not going to be tortured for committing suicide. But I told him your punishment is going to be your next life. It's probably going to be a shitty life. It's probably pretty mediocre.
Absolutely.
You're probably not going to excel. You're not going to be anything great, which will be punishment because he's punishing the soul, right? He can't punish you because you killed yourself. But he's going to punish the soul in the next life when you get recycled. I like to say it's recycling of the souls because how loaded the term reincarnation is. I try not to use the term reincarnation because people think, oh, you're coming
back. It's in the Bible when Yahweh talks about John the Baptist. He said he's Elijah. He is Elijah if you'll receive this.
Correct. So the specific question, though, he was asking was about terminal illness.
Well, that makes no difference in life at all. Some of us get terminally ill and some do not. We all have different lives. And he knows the beginning and the end. We don't have to worry about all that stuff because we're supposed to do what we believe is right in our heart. And as for subject of soul. A soul is what is there when you have a body and Yahweh puts life in your body. The body and the spirit together form the soul. When either one leaves the body or the spirit dies or goes back to heaven, and the body goes into the ground, the soul disappears. It does not exist anymore. It's like the light in a light bulb. When you stop the electricity, it's gone. So we don't have a body, a spirit, and a soul that goes somewhere afterwards. All we have is a body that goes to the ground and a spirit that goes back to God. Our soul disappears the minute life leaves us. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Charles, you try your mic again?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can.
Okay, I logged out, logged back in.
Okay, so it was a
on-off
reset.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Charles. Glad to have you with us.
Thank you, sister.
Looking forward to hearing what you have to say, too. If anything new has come up, give it to us.
Well. Thank you. Interesting discussion about the soul. And I had a conversation with Sheriff Darleaf again today. And he says, keep calling him. We'll do something sooner or later. He's in contact with other constitutional law scholars. And that's a big light at the end of the tunnel right there. If we could get a acting county sheriff on board with what we're trying to do to reinvigorate common law, then that'll move us forward very powerfully. And I'm real optimistic about that.
Yep, that would be good because there's a lot of platforms talking about how many people are completely fed up with the government, with the news, with the major networks, with sports, entertainment, all of it. More and more people are walking away. In fact, Fox News is the only one that has any kind of listenership, and even Fox News, though, is only reaching like 3%. So a lot of people have tuned out the mainstream media, which, you know, they should have done this years ago. So it took this much pain and this much stupidity to get people to do what they should have done 10, 20, 30 years ago. And we kind of knew that. When we started the radio show 23 years ago, many of the guests that I would have on would predict that it's going to take a lot of pain to wake up stiff-necked Israelites. They just, as long as they can get their beer, cold beer out of the fridge, and warm pizza out of the oven, they just figure life is okay. And they pretty much don't pay attention to what's going on around them. And so it had to get this ugly, this bad, for this long before a significant number of our people have now woken up. And apparently they're looking for community. They're looking for getting out of Babylon. They're looking to create parallel societies. They're looking for family farms. They want to be self-sufficient. They want to minimalize and downsize, just like the book of Revelation says. The merchants are weeping and wailing because people aren't going to buy their stuff. So as our people become more self-sufficient, there'll be far less trips to Walmart, Kmart, Staples, you name it, because we're going to start figuring out, again, how to do things ourselves. So the more we do that, and the more we realize a lot of this junk we have just sits around collecting dust, so why are we buying it in the first place? We need to really seriously think about, what do I actually need to live? What do I actually need to take care of my family, etc., versus this endless buying of junk, especially yeah. Chinese junk, out of the stores. I yield.
Yeah.
You know, when I was talking about the soul before, I have a very good example of what the soul is like that can let you picture it. Is if you have a piece of red cellophane that you can see through, pretend that's your body. Then you have a piece of blue cellophane, which is Yahweh's spirit that he blows into you like he blew into Adam's nostrils. if you overlap them, the body with the spirit, you get the purple, which is the soul. But the minute one of the other pieces goes, the soul no longer exists. If you pull the red away from the blue, the purple goes away. Is that understandable?
Well, it sort of fits with the Greek word psuche, which is where we get psyche, is just the English way of pronouncing the Greek word. But psuche was their word for the soul, and it basically means an animated body. So the body without the spirit is just a bag of bones, but you put the spirit within it, and it becomes the psuche or the soul. So it fits with what the Greeks wrote anyway. So it makes sense.
The other thing that they say, that when I did research on this years ago, a big picture of it, a good picture, was a light bulb. The light bulb is made of glass. That's the body. With the electricity going into the light bulb goes in and it produces the light. That's the spirit. But if you take the electricity out, the light goes out. That's the soul. The light is the soul. Once the bulb goes or the electricity goes, there's no light anymore. That's the soul, how it disappears when the two are separated, the body and the spirit.
So basically you're just saying the soul is identifying body with spirit.
Yes. Once your life leaves your body, the soul is no longer present. Your soul doesn't go anywhere. It just goes kaput.
Yeah,
like the book of Ecclesiastes tells us, animal doesn't differ from men in the way that when the body dies, it goes to the ground, and the spirit goes back to God where it came. But the soul, once the life is gone, there's no more soul. People that say, well, this soul went to heaven or hell or anything, it can't, because there is no soul after the body dies.
Right. So it's a case of semantics. The main thing people need to...
I'll yield and be quiet now.
Yeah, the main thing people have to understand is that we're spiritual creatures, and, this idea that... in fact, it's kind of interesting. Cliff High. A lot of people see Cliff High's videos about linguistics and neuro-linguistic programming and all that, and he's done a lot of work with creating algorithms to go out and data mine on the internet and make predictions. He's been pretty accurate. What I didn't know is he had cancer, and he has technically died three times.
Wow.
Three times he Once he was very, very ill. I think another time when maybe it had an accident, and one was only a year or two ago, fairly recently, and it had to do with his cancer. So he has technically died and seen the other side three times in his life. And he recently wrote an article about that experience, and it fits with people I've talked to. I've had 8 personal interviews with people, my personal circle of friends, who have done the same thing. They have technically died and seen the other side and then came back to life. And they all pretty much say the same thing, very similar experiences. So Cliff was basically saying that what people don't seem to understand is when you experience death, it's going to be quite different than what you are imagining. Part of it is due to the propaganda of the manipulators want you to be in deathly fear of dying so that you'll be a good slave. Whereas the scripture and the Holy Spirit and now the eyewitness testimony of many people, they're trying to tell you it's nothing to be afraid of. Even the scripture says that to be absent from the body is to be with the Messiah. So it's just basically telling you, you go back to where you came from. Born from above is what it's saying, not born again. You must be born from above. You must have come over here, crossed the firmament from the other side, and walked this earth as a spirit being. And then when you pass on, you go back over to the other side. So again, it's everything that they're telling us today is a form of mind control and propaganda to herd us around like a bunch of sheep so that they can get us to do what they want us to do. And they know, especially for the Anglo-Saxon Israelite people, we seem to be some of the most affected by fear. Other people don't seem to have it near as bad as the Caucasian Israelite people. They, as soon as you can make them afraid of something, they lose it. They lose all rational thinking. They lose common sense. So the key for the enemy has been, all they got to do is come up with things to make us afraid. So they created hell. They created damnation. They created everlasting punishment. And that was the church, because they wanted to drive you into the Catholic churches back when the Catholic Church was the main mainstream church. The Catholics wanted to get everybody in there and come and confess to the priest, so that way they got good intelligence on you. What better way to spy on you to get you to spill your guts? Today, the equivalent to that would be Facebook. I mean, how many people put their whole freaking life story on Facebook for the whole world to see? Well, centuries ago, we didn't have Facebook, but we did have the local priest, and you went down and you confessed. And where do you think the priest took all that information he gathered? Took it right into the bishops and the cardinal, and if it was serious enough, they took it to the Pope. So they got all the inside information on who's doing what in the community and everything else, because, again, make you afraid that if you, quote, don't confess, you're in trouble. It's all a mind screw. It's actually the F word, but I don't want to say it. They're effing with our minds. And again, they're trying to keep us in a state of fear so that they can manipulate us and get us to do the things they want. Yes, Jennifer, you're hot.
I thought I was muted.
Nope, your mic is hot, so good thing you didn't say the wrong thing. A lot of people got to be careful. Look how many of these politicians have got caught with a hot mic saying things I'm sure they regretted later on. So it can happen to us sometimes too. So you want to be careful. Okay.
Dan?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is somebody going to talk?
You are.
Oh, I am. Okay, I just wanted to say there's two scriptures that back up reincarnation in the Bible. One of them is Matthew 11:14. It's when people were talking about Elijah, and they asked him if this was Elijah who was to come from the book of Malachi. And he says in 11:14, Yeshua said, "And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come." So he's trying to tell us. And besides that, when Elijah in the Old Testament killed some prophets that he wasn't supposed to, he killed them, like cut their heads off. And so when John was reborn with the spirit of Elijah in him, the way he died was repaying Elijah for what he did wrong in the other life by killing those people. So John the Baptist got his head cut off for what Elijah did in his former life. But there is another thing, too, that in Revelation 3:12, it said about New Jerusalem, those people that overcome the things in the world now, when they come to New Jerusalem, they will go no more out if they are accepted into New Jerusalem by having lived a proper life. He will have go no more out. So that tells you, too, that they will not have to leave New Jerusalem if you get there and you overcome the world. So that's another scripture that tells you that you may have to leave and go back and do things over again. And that's one of the things that if you do, things like if you kill or maim or do things, if you're born from above, you're not going to go to hell or get punished for it, but you will have to repent of it. You'll have karma to do in the next life to repay the things that you do wrong. I yield.
So what you're saying, if I start cutting off heads, I'm going to be reincarnated?
No. If you cut off heads in this life and you die, the next life you may have to get your head cut off in that life if you don't in this life. But whatever you do, you're going to pay for one way or the other. Yeshua told us that.
What
anything you do, you're going to pay for.
If it's pedophile heads, am I going to come back and get my head cut off?
If what?
If I cut off pedophile heads, am I going to come back and get my head cut off?
I have no idea what it is. I'll help you. I'll be willing to come back, whatever, to do that.
All right.
Hold on. You're forgetting one thing. When he cut those heads off, he was disobeying what he was told to do, just like when the rock struck. Okay, so when you do something in contempt of what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do, then you're in contempt of the Almighty, and that's when the punishment comes. If you're part of a righteous army, as Ezekiel 37 tells us is going to happen in Obadiah, and you're out there taking out the enemy, that's not going to be punishable because that's what we're supposed to do. I yield.
Yeah. But there's nobody righteous. There's no righteous armies or righteous militia or anything because the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one.
Can I jump in?
Go ahead, Charles.
Thank you. Is that Ella that's talking there? I think I recognize your voice, but I don't see Ella in the attendees list.
It's Angel.
Angel, okay. Thank you, Angel.
Angel or Ella.
Okay, I got it. I thought your voice was familiar there. And you're obviously a very wise woman, and I'm glad you're participating here, but... there's a big difference in my comprehension of the supreme laws of God, his process for deciding who gets punished and why and things like that. Dan was alluding to this, the concept of justifiable homicide. When God's soldiers go to war and they kill people, that's because they were evil people and they deserve to die. And similarly, in modern times, maybe it's not a war, but it's just two individuals fighting, and one of them is flat evil, like what Melissa said, a pedophile that's raping immature pre-puberty children. That is evil. And at that point, you have the mandate of heaven to engage in justifiable homicide. Of course, there's a lot of instances where chopping off people's heads and just killing people is wrong, flat wrong. It's murder, and that's definitely condemned in the Bible. But I think there is not only allowance but encouragement from God to bring the sword, to put an end to people that are causing pain and suffering and anguish on this earth.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you. I yield.
Absolutely. But then again, too, I think that when the government tells you to join the army and you have to go overseas and kill people you've never seen and who have never done anything to you, I think that's wrong.
Right. In fact, at that point, I believe it's justified to just pick up your gun and point it at the person that's telling you to go overseas and kill other people and kill him instead. I think that's...
I agree with you, Charles. Absolutely.
Thank you.
There would be no wars if more people did that.
Right on. You see what they're doing that in Ukraine. They're grabbing people off the streets, forcing them into the army, and go up against that Russian war machine. And they're just getting destroyed by the Russian war machine because the cowards in Ukraine are forcing the simple people, the honest working class farmer country type people. They're forcing them to go out on the front lines and fight while they're behind the scenes in the comfort of their homes, having all the other Ukrainians get killed. And a lot of that happened during the so-called Civil War too. In the South, there was lots of people in the so-called Confederacy that were going out and chasing down people and forcing them to put on uniforms and go fight the Northerners. And what those people should have been doing, they should have been going and fighting the Northerners themselves. They're so anxious to get somebody to fight the Northerners, but they didn't want to do that because they were part of the intellectually inbred Masonic conspiracy there that they weren't really concerned about defeating the North. They just wanted class warfare so that they could destroy the free white people and destroy working class people all over the place. And that was their agenda. And part of that is to get common country people to go out there and either get killed themselves or kill other common working class people. So there's lots of that same kind of problem, and it recurs time and time again throughout history. And unless you're in a righteous war, like directed by God, you better just cut and run and try to get away, or else pull out your gun and shoot the people that are trying to force you into an unjustifiable war. Because at least that way, if some of his friends shoot you back, you will die for a cause of God instead of something that's ungodly. Now you.
That's why
I agree with you.
Thank you.
That's why the scripture says it's better to be harmed for doing good than evil.
Amen.
So, right.
Amen.
So if you get harmed because you're doing good, then you don't need to worry about it because the Father is going to take that into account. So, that will be the next step. The next step is the awakening that's going on right now. It's picking up momentum very rapidly. And people are beginning to understand what we've talked about now for 23 years on the radio. Man-made governments are not our friends. None of them are. Man-made religion is not our friend. Man-made corporations are not our friends. All of this man-made stuff that goes counter to God's law is not our friends. And we need to get away from that. And there will be no more wars. When the dust settles from all this, there will be no more wars, because the next fighting that's going to happen is the righteous, what I call the righteous, the faithful of Yahweh's people, are going to go out and we're going to destroy the wicked that are running this show. And once they're out of the way, then there won't be a need for a, quote, a war. The only punishments that will be handed out are to the people that are doing wicked deeds or violating God's law. And that will be minor, very few. So it'll be more of a cleanup action, if you will, or just policing action instead of a full-scale war.
Yeah.
I yield. Anybody else got something?
I do. I was reading the other day, and, you know, all through history has been wars, but there was no wars during the days of Isaac. Is that true? That Isaac never, Abraham went to war, Jacob and his sons went to war, but Isaac never had to go to war. It was peaceful times.
I haven't read anything about him going to war either.
No, nothing in what we call scripture talks about him going to war. Be nice
the
to
only
have
reason
a time
why
machine and go back and find out.
The only reason why the governments want war is to soak the people from taxes and keep the military going and to be able to control the people. If there's no war, if there's peacetime, like that report from Iron Mountain, that was a report that was written years ago about how to control the people during time of peace. And actually, during my whole life, there's never been a time of peace.
True.
What would the government do with us if there was no war? What would the news networks do if we were not in Korea, Vietnam, Afghanistan, and all the other countries that we have military bases in? If the whole world were at peace, what would they ever do for money?
Well, that's
I yield.
Yep, it's all the merchants. That's why the Book of Revelation talks about the merchants weeping and wailing. Because when you bring Babylon down, what you're bringing down are the merchants, which includes corporatocracy, it includes the governments, it includes the bankers, because all they care about is fleecing you through taxation and then fleecing you as a perpetual consumer. Everything is driven to make you dependent on the system so that you are forever a consumer. You're forever asking permission to get married, to drive your car, to register your car, to own your land, to put up a new building, pay for a permit. Everything is to make you pay. And so when this system comes down, it's this merchant class that gets punished, this merchant class that does the weeping and wailing. Because when the people finally wake up to the insanity of this system that we're living under right now, they're going to walk away from it. And if they don't, if they try to stop us from walking away from it, they're going to find, they're probably going to face a wall of lead or pitchforks or bonfires or whatever, because the people are getting, they're fed up. They're starting to see through this thing. It's all manipulation. It's all about making money. It has nothing to do with your health. It has nothing to do with your well-being. It has nothing to do with the saving of the earth. Those are all just sophistry that they use to convince you that we need government to protect us. That's their job, to stay in power. They have to convince you to be afraid, and the only people that can, quote, save you, since you don't believe in the Father Almighty, talking about the people out here, so you're going to look to quote little g god called government and their agencies to save you. It's just like, you know, the meme that's been going around that says for every disease known to man, there's something in the woods growing that'll fix it. Maybe even growing in your backyard. Everything. Just like we found out the other day, cranberry juice. You want to help fix your teeth, swish some cranberry juice around in your mouth, organic 100% cranberry juice, swish it around in your mouth for a while and then swallow it. So now you've helped your teeth fight tooth decay and you're helping your kidneys out at the same time. So one plant is going to keep you out of the dental office and out of the urologist's office. So one plant, that's all. Organic cranberries taste great. Just swish it around, drink it down. Little things like that. I mean, that's what they don't want us to know. Every time I've told somebody about this stuff, they go, how come it isn't common knowledge? I recently had a cousin who did a session with my naturopathic doctor friend that I often refer to as Gail. And Dr. Gail spent 2 hours with my cousin, and he called me as soon as he got done, and the first thing he said was, oh, my God. He goes, how can she do that? Over the phone, long distance. And he goes, for 2 hours, she was just nailing my medical conditions and my mental conditions. And I said, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a blessing from the Father. And he goes, why is this not like everywhere? Why isn't this knowledge and this technology out here for everybody? I said, because most people don't care. And I said, including you, dear cousin. I've been telling you about this for 20 years, and only now, because you think you're dying, did you bother to listen to me. Okay? It's just like when you try to teach people about the scriptures. All right? They don't want to hear it until they think they're in trouble. They think they're going to die, or they can feel that their spirituality is leaving because they've done something evil, wrong, whatever. Okay, now all of a sudden they'll come and ask you. But for decades, they will ignore everything you say. So I tried to tell them that. I said, look, you've known me. We grew up together. I said, you know, I wouldn't lie to you. So when I told you this is a phenomenal person that could help you, why did you choose to ignore it for nearly 20 years? And now all of a sudden you actually take the time, talk to the person, and you're running around like a like a little boy at school that just found a new bag of marbles out on the playground. You want to tell everybody about it. You want your brothers to do a session and blah, 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 which is, I'm happy for that. But the big question, why did it take 20 years? Why did you not listen when, you know, you were younger and a little bit of preventative medicine and preventative holistic advice would have prevented you from having all of these issues, including diabetes and mental problems and depression? All of this stuff is attacking you when a little, what is that old saying? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. My mom and dad used to drum that into my head as a child all the time. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And so when people like me are trying to get people to understand about the naturopathic doctors and what they can do for you, I'm trying to get that ounce of prevention out there, but people wait till it takes a pound of cure. It's the nature of our people. It's the same thing when you're telling them about our Father above and his law, especially the food laws. I can't tell you how many times I've been told, I don't want to hear about the food laws. I said, why not? I don't want you telling me, I don't want anybody telling me what I can eat. I'm going to eat whatever I want to eat. I said, well, go ahead. I don't really care. You're the one that's going to have bowel problems. You're the one that's going to end up with a bag on the side of your hip. You're the one that's going to end up in the surgery hospital having your bowels ripped apart. I said, because you don't obey the law. Mm-hmm. I said, I personally am not going to lose any sleep over it. I'm just telling you what it is, and now Kumari can testify to it because he's been studying holistic medicine now for most of his adult life, and now he's also a board-certified health coach, so he knows. He's lived it. He knows exactly what happens if you violate the rules, and now he's done great research on his own, and he's worked with people like Dr. Snow, who was a phenomenal healer. And now with that knowledge, he's able to help people to avoid the things that he went through and others that he knows about. It's called the truth. That's why he said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What sets you free from what? Free from the hospital, the doctors, the bankers, the corporations, the endless wars. If you become a truth seeker, he said, I'll provide you the teacher that will tell you the truth and you can come out of it. There's an old saying, I can't remember if it's who was credited with it, but an old saying that says, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. But not until the student is ready. And that's the problem with our people today. They don't want to hear the truth. They're not ready. That's the problem. There's plenty of people that could tell them all about holistic medicine, all about God's law versus man's law, and how much better life would be if we just lived under God's law. Tons of people would tell them about it. They don't want to hear it because they would have to get off their ass and get involved. They'd have to make changes, and our people hate changes. They get into their comfort zone, their little bubble of comfort, and they don't want anything to come and put a hat pin in their bubble and burst it, which is exactly what Yahshua and his truth does to the comfort zone that the average person has. Puts a great big hat pin right in there and blows it all apart because most people are not living according to his law. Mm-hmm. And certainly our societies are not doing it. Look at all the white nations that are not at the borders with weapons turning back these invaders. It's an invasion. Every white nation on earth right now, except possibly Iceland, but every white nation is being invaded because every government of the white nations has been infiltrated by communists. Zionist communists, and they have opened the borders, and the white people are doing nothing about it. I yield. Anybody else got something?
There's one thing I wanted to say, that everybody can do one thing that will improve their health 100% overnight. Turn off your television and stop listening to it.
Oh, amen to that. Amen to that. We've
you listen to television, they say, take your blood pressure. And I say the worst thing that people can do in their life is to take their blood pressure every day, because that machine will lie to you. And it'll make you worried. It'll make you fear. It tells you, don't eat eggs. Don't do this. Don't do that. But what you do, if you listen to that crap, you do everything just the opposite of what they tell you to do, and you'll gain your health back. I yield.
Well, make sure, Angel, you tell everybody that you're a retired nurse. You know, some of us that have known you for a while know that, but anybody new might be sitting there going, what is she talking about? Let them know that you're a retired cardiothoracic ICU nurse, so you have credentials.
I've been in every form of, I've been in a gastrointestinal surgeon's office. I've been a medical secretary. I've been the head of a cataract clinic. I've worked in telemetry unit, ICU, orthopedic. There isn't any, the only part I have not worked in is pediatrics, because I don't generally like to see sick kids. But I was a nurse before for 40 years. And actually, I can't say I'm retired, because I'm still doing it, because that's part of my art from the time I was a little kid. So that I'm still a nurse. I always will be. Anytime anybody has any problems at all, get my email address from Dan, and I'll be glad to help you out in any way I can, free of charge, because that's my mission.
Yep, that's what we're here to do, help our people in the area of the spiritual, but also the physical, because it's hard to fight a war when you're not feeling good. It's hard to fight a war if you're in pain or you're not up 100%. It's also hard to resist the lies and deceptions if you're not feeling good, because it takes work. You have to do digging. You have to have due diligence and a willpower that is diminished if you're not feeling good. So, you know, like I said, for 23 years, we've been telling people, please, whatever you do, get your health, especially now when we're so close to things possibly going upside down in this world, at least for a while. You don't want to go into that situation handicapped. And I will give a personal testimony to what Angel was saying. I don't take my blood pressure. I haven't taken it in many years. I don't go to clinics. I don't go to the doctor. I don't get any kind of examinations done, including the finger wave that everybody talks about. And they say when men get over 50, they're supposed to go for that. I've never gone for that, and I'm not going to. For one reason, like Angel said, I don't believe in it. Number two, I've watched what my brother and other family members have gone through, because like you said, you go in there and they strap the machine on you. Oh my gosh, your blood pressure's high. Here, take these pills, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. I can tell when my body is feeling great, and I can tell when it's off. And generally when it's off, it's because I've done something wrong. I've stopped eating what I should eat, or I got a hold of the wrong thing, whatever. If it gets more serious than what I can fix myself, that's when I call my son, or I call Angel, or I call Gail, or any of the other people that I know the truth and have my best interests at heart, and I'll get some advice from them. But I'm not going to go to a clinic and listen to an MD doctor. I'm done with them. Just like television, done with it. I'm done with the mainstream media. I'm done with the government, and I'm done with the medical mafia. I want nothing to do with them. And as I've told many of my friends, and I mean it, I've told my family as well, don't you dare put me in a hospital. If it's my time to go, just let me go. because hospitals are great at keeping a body alive, even though that body may have been destined for death. I mean, come on, I'm sure Angel can attest to this. All right, sometimes it's just time to go. We're not meant to be here for 1,000 years. It's just the same idea with pets. I've seen my sister and other family members go to extreme lengths trying to keep the poor animal alive. But for who? The animal's suffering. But they'll run to the vet and get prescriptions. They'll get surgeries. They'll do all this. And one time I asked, I said, how old is this dog? And it was like 18 years old. I said, you know, it's the end of the line. What the hell are you doing? You doing it for yourself, or are you doing it for the animal? Because the animal, and Kumri here can attest to what I'm going to say. There was a family pet, and yes, everybody loved the pet, and nobody wanted it to go away. Of course not. But there comes a time when it's time to go because the things are starting to shut down. And it took the veterinary doctor to confirm what I was saying when he said that the animal was suffering. It had tumors all over the body, and it was time for the animal to go. So keeping it alive was only for the human's sake. It certainly wasn't for the poor dog's sake. It's just an example I'm giving. And, you know, and if it's true of the animal kingdom, it's true of us. That's why we're not supposed to be afraid of death. We're not supposed to live in fear. We're not supposed to do crazy things or let the medical mafia pump us full of drugs, put us on machines so that they can pump extra money out of the insurance companies, etc., when the end is unavoidable. And I've been through this with my close relatives, my mom and dad, my sister, my nephew. I've been through it with them, and I'm going to tell you right here. They are a big reason why I'm at war with the medical mafia. What I saw them do to my loved ones, what they put all of us through, and in the end, it was just so they could make more money. And in every case, when the insurance money ran out, that's when you were told, oh, you need to go down and talk to the people at palliative care about hospice. But not until the insurance money ran out. In some cases, that took months of torture for all of us. And in the end, what was done? Nothing. Did they actually do anything of benefit? No, they didn't. Didn't do a damn thing. And here, why again? We're afraid. We're afraid of pain. We're afraid of losing a loved one. Fear. Here again, fear drives us all the time. And yet Christ himself said it how many times? You're not to be driven by the spirit of fear. We're supposed to have faith in the Father. We're supposed to understand that we're here for a period of time. That's it. That's all. Period of time. Then we go back. Okay? This isn't our destination. This is just part of the trip. Whether it's multiple times or only once, we'll find that out when we get on the other side. There's evidence for both sides. That's why I don't argue about it. Okay? There's evidence for both sides. Personally, I think many of us have been here more than once.
I'm falling asleep, so you need to go to sleep too, okay?
Yeah, your mic's back on, Jennifer.
Oops, sorry. Talking to my cat.
Yeah, I know. So again, the answer for all of us is to have faith in the Father who created us, who created this whole thing. It's his plan. It's not man's plan. It's not the cabal's plan or even the communist Jews' plan. They think they're in charge, but no, they're not. This is all part of his plan. And we're supposed to treat every single day as if it's our last day on earth. Every day. Every day, wake up thankful. Give thanks to the Father. Give thanks to being alive, being part of what's going on. and you got one more day to accomplish something, to learn something. And I like the saying that says, live every day as if it's your last, but learn every day as if you're going to be here for 1,000 years. And that is something I have lived with in my life since I was a boy. I've been trying to learn, read, study. That's why I've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books and pamphlets and tracts. And every day, scouring for the truth, digging, going down rabbit holes. Every day. Because I might be here for 1,000 years. You don't know. You don't know. Because there's a time coming when we're going to get changed in the twinkling of an eye. And we will become different people. We will have different bodies. And you may be literally here for thousands of years. So why would you waste all of those years and all of that time when you could be learning and carrying that knowledge forward for the next millennium or two or three?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll yield. Anybody else have something?
Yeah, I wanted to say something. One thing we were talking about at the beginning, committing suicide and things like that. From what I've read in the Bible and from what I've seen in my own career as in nursing, I've seen a lot of people die. I've seen a lot of people die in extreme pain. And I think personally, there is absolutely nothing in God's law against assisted suicide or helping somebody over the edge if they're in extreme suffering pain. Because years ago, you used to be able to buy morphine over the counter. Just go in and buy it. So if you had pain, you could control your own pain. As a matter of fact, all the pain drugs now are illegal. You can't buy them. And I think they should be absolutely illegal. So if somebody has cancer or something that is really driving them to the point where they can't even breathe without pain, I think Yahweh would want them to get over the, you know, go over the side or help assist them or take something to stop the pain. Even though that medication may stop your breathing, it's up to the person. Nobody should be allowed to suffer like that. And I've seen suffering where I would like to myself help them. I've never had the opportunity. I've never done it. But it's only the merciful thing you can do when somebody is in extreme pain for 6 months. They can't even open their eyes without pain. It tears the family apart. It tears the person apart. And I think that should be allowed, and that the government should keep their noses out of our personal health business. I yield.
Yep. Amen. I would concur with what I have seen, which is nowhere near your experience with it, but just within my own family and friends. Well, there's two things to this. Part of it is the medical mafia is not giving people what they could possibly take that would cure them. You got to remember, the medical mafia exists to treat symptoms. So they make money by you not being well so they can treat the symptoms. So they have no interest in you being cured. So the first thing we have to do is get back to holistic ways and approaches because they are aimed at getting you healthy again. But, as Angel said, if you do reach that point where you, because of old age or even with all the holistic stuff, you've got something going on that just isn't going to get fixed. It's obvious to everybody involved, the person, the naturopathic doctors, etc. Everybody understands. Okay. So again, as you said, they should be legal because they used to be. Kumri will tell you, he's done the research, it's easy to produce organic pain management herbs. It'd be easy to do. They don't want you to have them, but it's something we could do to manage the pain. And if it gets bad enough, again, there's no resolution. There is no way it's going to come back. What I was told, and I believe Kumri and Ella could verify this, if you increase the dosage of the pain medication to a certain point, the body just simply goes to sleep. It shuts down. So if the pain management is helping, but the body is still basically dying, again, I've seen this, you could take the dosage level and increase it to the point where the person just simply goes to sleep and goes home, which is the merciful thing to do. What we do today is not merciful. I'm going to tell you that right now. With all this medical information, these big hospitals, all these doctors and nurses, what we're doing to people at the end of their life today is not merciful at all. It's barbaric. I would almost put it up there as barbaric as circumcision. Again, because we are doing everything we can to violate God's law and common sense today. It's amazing to me what we do, and we think we're doing the right thing. It's insane, the things that we're doing. Mutilating a baby boy and think that it's okay. I told my cousin about that when he called about his problems, and he said, well, no, circumcision's good because it's a health thing. I said, that's the propaganda. And he said, really? He goes, that's not true? And I said, no, it's not true. Absolutely is not true. And I'm not going to take up, I could spend the next hour telling you all the things that we've studied to show you that's just a bullshit story and it's not true. Circumcision is barbarism.
All you do with an uncircumcised baby is you pull the foreskin back when you change their diaper and you clean them. When you're potty training a little boy, you teach him to pull the foreskin back and clean it. So it's not a health issue.
No, it's not. It's not. Besides, Yahweh doesn't make mistakes. Okay? In nature, you don't see horses or sheep or goats going out there and the mom going up and nipping the end of their little male lamb or goat or horse. You don't see him nipping the end of his thing off, do you? If it was necessary, that's what they would be doing. Obviously, it's not necessary. And they don't even clean. All right? I'm not so sure that's even necessary because, first of all, urine is sterile, okay? When urine comes out of the body, it is 100% sterile. It's warm water. And now they've got us convinced that somehow that is going to turn into this terrible situation. Now, there is another aspect of it, though. It's called personal hygiene. Now, some people are good about it, and this goes to ladies, too. I could go into a lot of stories here, so it's not just the boys. This goes for the ladies, too. It's personal hygiene. It's got nothing to do with the fact that your body was created wrong, and we need to go in there and do some surgical thing to make it better. No. You just need to learn better hygiene. Simple as that. Yahweh doesn't make mistakes, and we got to stop committing barbarism.
I should have corrected myself. I need to correct myself. I should have said when you give them a bath, you teach them to pull the foreskin. Because my son wasn't circumcised. And my dad wasn't circumcised. You teach them to pull, when they take a bath, to pull their foreskin back and clean it. And it's as simple as that. And my dad's
right.
Never had no problem. Son's never had no problem. So I don't think it's necessary to have a baby circumcised because, like you said, cleanliness issue.
Right. It's just a hygiene thing, and you're right. Even the ladies are, you know, we're not going to get into too much detail here, but even when ladies clean themselves, they should do something very similar. Okay, we'll leave it at that. The point of it is it's a hygiene thing. It's not a health thing. There is no need for it. It's all, again, propaganda bullshit and all that other stuff. So we got to stop doing it.
Just like wearing deodorant. You don't have to wear deodorant. You just wash your armpits. It's natural to, when you're working and being sweaty, to have an odor. You just take a shower. In the middle of the day, if you have an odor, take some apple cider vinegar, wash your armpits, and put some baking soda on it. I haven't worn deodorant in 4 years. My husband quit wearing deodorant. We don't stink. Yeah, if we're working, you know, painting, or if I'm outside in the garden, yeah, I'm going to get sweaty and I'm going to have an odor. I just take a shower and that's that. I hate it. Deodorant is not good for us. It's not. We don't need it.
Right. Yeah.
Well, women every single day, women need to do what they call a PTA. You can figure that one out.
I think I have it figured out. We don't need to explain that one. Let them figure that one out. All right, leave that one and go. Yeah, that's exactly right. And I'll tell you what, if what Melissa said to do is too much work for you, just go down to the health food store, and they sell a little 3 to 4 inch long mineral stone. It's about 1 inch across, maybe 1.25 inches across, about 3 inches tall. It'll last you probably 3 to 4 years, but you just take that little mineral stone, it's very smooth, and you put a little water on the end, and you rub it under your arms, and it leaves a coating of salt. And guess what salt kills? Bacteria. And what causes body odor? Bacteria. Same thing like Melissa said, that's why you take a bath and wash. I like to do both. You take a bath and wash, and then 2 or 3 times during the day when I'm in the bathroom and I think about it, I just take my stone, I get a little water on it, real quick under the arms, leave that nice little layer of salt, and guess what? Even when I'm outside sweating, very little odor because the salt stays in there and the salt kills the bacteria that are causing the problem. So again, there's natural solutions for everything rather than running down to the store, buying that plastic compound that they call deodorant and smearing the goo all up in your pores, especially the antiperspirants. Oh, my God, now you're putting aluminum up into your body.
Metals.
What's that?
You said I was saying it's full of metals. That's because when I was growing up, women could buy deodorant. Now you can't hardly get Tom's. It's a little expensive, and it's pure deodorant. But now it's antiperspirant and deodorant, and it causes breast cancer. The metals cause breast cancer. Deodorant is not good for us. It's just a lot of stuff we do. Toothpaste, it's not good for us. But we're so indoctrinated to think that we need to do all these things, and we don't. We just don't. I haven't used regular toothpaste in over 4 years. I can't really remember, and I'm doing much better now since I quit putting all that fluoride and minty taste in my mouth. I make my own toothpaste with baking soda and coconut oil. Now I do go to the health food store and get a little organic peppermint to put in it because it's kind of hard because we're used to the minty stuff, and these hard toothbrushes, they're not good for us. They're not good for our gums. They're not good for the enamel on our teeth. I buy kids soft toothbrush. It's just we have to look at what we're doing versus it's really good and healthy for us, and a lot of us don't do that. You know, my parents, they think my mom's deceased, she was killed by the AMA, but they think that because someone has some letters behind their name, that they're almost like gods. Like people think the government is a god. They think the same thing about doctors, and it's not true. It's not true.
Yep, that's right.
There's another thing that Yahweh has great payback for that women do not understand, and most of them don't realize. One of the biggest causes of breast cancer that there is abortion.
Also, your mammograms are not good for you.
Right. Well, the abortion is bad because your body gets ready to have a baby. All your hormones change. Your body is preparing for that pregnancy. And then you abort it and you shut those hormones off. And hormones, mess up in hormones are one of the biggest causes of cancer. So all these women that are out there proud that they can abort their babies are going to probably end up with no boobs.
Good. Good.
Good. Kumri says here, even Yahweh said give strong drink to he who is at the end of life, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, and also to settle the stomach. he's got a couple other things in here. Let's see. Oh, brush with for brushing the teeth, use powdered eggshells and charcoal. That's what he uses, and then rinse with peppermint and aloe vera. Yep, there's lots of natural things. Also, he says buy neem oil to rub on your gums, which I have. I have neem oil, I have neem toothpaste, and I have a neem tree, because I live far enough south where neem trees do not like cold weather. So I'm fortunate, being in Florida, that I have two small neem trees growing right outside on my carport, and I can take leaves right off the neem tree and chew them, and I get that nice, fresh neem oil in there working to kill bacteria and plaque, and also to help the gums. Neem, neem oil, and the neem tree are phenomenal. Of course, up north, you're going to have to go get it at the health food store, because unless you have a greenhouse big enough to put a neem tree in it, you're not going to be able to grow it, because, again, they like warm climates and not the cold climates of the north. I got a couple notes here. Okay, hold on a second. Yep. All right, very good. A lot of good information out there. I'm sure may have offended a few people, but I certainly hope not. Everything that we've talked about here is backed up by lots of years of research and just empirical evidence everywhere. But we're at the hour and 15-minute mark. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to either ask or report?
I do want to say something about the aloe vera. That's another plant that has so many benefits. Use it on blisters, sunburns, bug bites. You can use it for hemorrhoids. I mean, it's a wonderful plant.
Yeah, it's a miracle plant. Yep. Yeah, I had a friend of mine that had a really bad burn and down here. I think it was a really bad sunburn. I mean, really bad. And he had an aloe vera plant. A big one. Down here they grow huge. And he broke off some of that and rubbed it all over it. And I think it was within a day or two, and he had no signs, and there was no scarring, no nothing. I mean, it was a miracle. And then back on the organic farm, Kumri might remember this, but we had a friend of mine, Jack, came over to work on some fence with me, barbed wire fence. And he wasn't paying attention, and his wrist came down across one of the barbs, and it sliced his wrist from almost the whole way across, almost like he was trying to commit suicide. So he had a very nasty gash, and we ran into the house, and we cleaned it quickly, and we stuffed it with cayenne pepper, dry cayenne pepper that I had on the shelf there. So we packed it with the cayenne pepper, and yes, it burned like hell. But I saw him at work, I think it was 2 days later, and I'm pretty sure it was just 2 days. I saw him at work 2 days later. There was not a mark on his wrist. Not a mark. No scar, no wound, nothing. And I was shocked. I said, wait a minute. I said, that was a nasty gash on your wrist. He says, yeah, I know. He said, but I kept it clean and kept it packed with that cayenne pepper, and it never got infected, and it healed up tremendously fast. And again, no scar, no nothing, just a few days later. It's just, the longer I study the holistic, and I hear from like Kumri and Angel and Dr. Gale and all the other researchers that I've known, it's mind-boggling. The beautiful things that were put in nature for us, and we're walking past it or cutting it or calling it weeds and putting poison on it, and they're the very things we need, and we're running down to a clinic so a witch doctor can make you afraid and pump you full of drugs. I mean, again, I sit there and I just shake my head. This information is available to anybody that cares to find out. And yet they'll run down there to the same people that have murdered members of your family. They have an absolutely abysmal track record for curing anything, and yet people, the very first thing they'll do, it reminds me of a naturopathic doctor, Dr. Kelly. He's since gone to be with the Father, but back when I knew him, he wrote a book, and he was a dentist at one time, and he got cancer. In fact, he had prostate cancer, and he was in his 30s, and he found a natural way that cured him, and so he spent the rest of his life helping people with cancer use his method. And at one time when he was in his 70s and I was interviewing him, he said he had helped over 30,000 people. He told me the story about a woman who had cancer, and she'd gone to every clinic, every doctor, and they sent her home to die. So when they sent her home to die, she finally reached out to Dr. Kelly. So Dr. Kelly worked with her, and he said, it's late in your cancer. He said, I don't know. My system takes a few months to kick in, but we'll give it a go. He goes, we'll try it. So he did. Long story short, she got over her cancer, and years went by, and her son got cancer. The rest of the story is, where do you think she took her son? She took her son to the doctors who sent her home to die. Instead of calling Dr. Kelly, she took him to the doctors, the same ones that sent her home to die. And you wonder why people like me shake my head and wonder if there's any salvation for our race when you see things like this going on. Like I said, there's a woman who should have known better and should have called Dr. Kelly first, but she is so brainwashed, so into the system, she took her own son to the same witch doctors that sent her home to die. Somebody explain that to me. That defies logic. That actually is a form of mental illness. That somebody would go to the same people who failed them and ignore the guy that helped you? I don't.
And Dan?
Yeah.
Yeah, Melissa was talking about different toothpaste and things like that. There is one thing that everybody has around on them. If they get red ant bites, wasp stings, yellow jacket sting, bee stings or anything, this is a lot easier for men than it is for women. Pee on it. I'm not kidding. If you get stung, pee on it. Because the pee is sterile. And it's got acid in it, just like if you put vinegar on something to, you know, get rid of the pain. If you do that, that'll help with all those bee stings and everything. Like I said, it's a lot easier for men. Women would have to run into the house or something like that, but men can do that. But I've seen that work, and I've seen it work beautifully outside.
Yep, well, it makes sense.
And I almost think that if in the ocean a jellyfish bites you, I think you could do the same thing.
But I know I've been told by men in prison that they would pee on their feet so they wouldn't get athlete's feet in the shower.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Urine is very clean. It may smell because it's got stuff in it, but it's sterile.
I'm going to use apple cider. Or if I get a bee sting, I'm not peeing on myself.
Sorry. I'll tell you, if you get stung by a wasp and it hurts, you pee on it. That happened to me. My neighbor, that's what happened. He was out helping me fix a fence when I first moved out here, and yellow jackets came down, and I got stung on the wrist really, by two or three of them, and I'm allergic to them. And he said, I don't want to be impolite, ma'am, but all you got to do is pee on it. And I said, what? He said, you heard me. And I ran into the house and I did. And it stopped the pain.
Yep. Truth is stranger than fiction. All right. We're so programmed by the medical mafia, the schools, and everything else. We think all this stuff sounds silly. But again, the longer you're in holistic healing and the more of these miracle turnarounds that you see, at some point you just have to say, I'm not going to take part in the medical mafia anymore. I'm done. I'm done. I would rather go in the bathroom and pee on myself than go to see a damn doctor. That's so as crazy as that sounds, I would do that. I would do that before I'll go to a clinic or a hospital or a doctor's office. And again, Angel says it, we're not used to hearing it, so the first inclination is to laugh and giggle and all that silly and blah, blah, blah. But I'm going to tell you something. I hate them so much that I would rather go in and pee on my wound than go to them and have them put their poison in me. Because I'm going to tell you something. I've been pharmaceutical-free almost my entire life. Very few times have I ever had even an antibiotic. Pharmaceutical-free. And there was an accident. It was done by accident, but somebody gave me a couple tablets. I thought they were papaya, which papaya is very good for an upset stomach, and it has enzymes in it too. So they gave me these tablets, but it turned out the tablets, because they look exactly like the other tablets, the tablets they gave me was Seroquel. Now, Seroquel, for the people out there who know anything about drugs, is a serious drug.
Yeah, bad stuff.
Yeah, it's bad stuff. 800 milligrams is an overdose. This person gave me two 200 milligram tablets. Now, that's to me, who has zero pharmaceuticals. I got the equivalent to what you'd probably want to give a horse. I'm going to tell you, that stuff kicked my ass. I won't go into the details of what it did to me, but I was very angry. I couldn't coordinate my legs, my arms. I had to crawl. It destroyed me for a couple days. And then finally my body got rid of it. But I think Yahweh put me through it so I would understand what people go through that are either addicted or overdosed with that shit. I'm going to tell you something. That one little accident, that one little episode told me that I will be pharmaceutical free for the rest of my life. There ain't no way I'm putting that poison, those pharmakia, drugs used in sorcery and black magic, I'm not putting that shit in my body. I'm not going to do it. I'd rather die, to be quite frank. I'd rather just die.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather call up my son and say, hey, give me that natural morphine and pump it in until I pass over because I ain't going to these butchers for any problems. Just not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's my way. And like I said, I've been doing it for a long time. And again, I'm not talking about if you are in a car wreck and your arm's hanging down by a thread. That's a whole different set of medicine. That's emergency surgery, and I have great respect for the people that do these emergency surgeries that save lives from car wrecks and all that. They are in a completely different category. But even for them, the holistic people will tell you, you let them put you back together, and then you get them out of the hospital.
Yes.
Let them go ahead and fix you up, but you go home and get on your holistic approach as fast as you can. You get out of the hospital. For another reason, hospitals are full of what? Germs. Sepsis. Angel can tell you all about that. How many people have gotten, I forget what it's called, that infection you can get in a hospital, and it can kill you.
Nosocomial infections.
Yeah, exactly. So even the medical profession, if they're honest, will tell you, you want to get out of the hospital as quick as you can. You don't want to linger in the hospital. All right? So, but anyway, I don't want to digress too much, so I'll yield the floor. Does anybody else have anything? Charles, anything?
Just quick. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, loud and clear.
Two issues I'd like to touch on. One is our whole discussion about health for each of us as individuals here. I like to do a parallel, and I mentioned this in our last Monday conference, that the necessary care and procedures for an individual to be healthy is also applicable to a body politic community, communities of people. Communities of people need to be on the land, getting their hands dirty, doing gardening, working, exercising, and providing the nutrients of God's earth and fresh air and sunshine for the whole community. That is wisdom for an individual to get the nutrition out of the soil and everything, as well as for larger communities. I talk about body politic that is voting, is holding their government officials accountable through grassroots election process. This is all these same principles apply. And just like a parasite for an individual, if you've got a tapeworm or something, you're going to be healthier if you can get rid of the parasite. And similarly, I call them voodoo doctors and corrupted governmental officials. If you get away from them, they're parasites on the body politic community. And once we can develop policies where we form our own separate communities that don't have any of those voodoo doctors or snake oil salesmen, our whole community is going to be better.
Amen. And,
Thank you. The only other one thing I wanted to mention real quick, I'm delighted on what seems to be the consensus here on circumcision. I've been on the same page with that issue for a real long time. And in the name of God, it's an uphill battle because circumcision is referenced in a positive light numerous times in the Bible. So I'm really delighted to see a group of Christians here that are going, well, there's misinterpretations or something there, but it's really not a godly righteous thing. And a footnote there, they usually do it about the 7-day mark after a baby boy is born. The people like Adolf Hitler's, all of the people that have studied mind control and things like that, they know that the most vulnerable time for inducing trauma-based mind control in young children is right about at 7 days, okay? And so when you traumatize that young boy by surgically cutting the foreskin off of his penis, it makes them subject to MKUltra mind control, and that's just exactly what the devil worshipers want. They've got it timed, they've got a science to it, and they've done propaganda to subvert proper interpretation of our holy scriptures to give color of legitimacy, saying that God approves of things when it's obvious. If they had a functional conscience, God didn't screw up when he made young boys. He'd have to be saying he made a mistake in his creation process. God is not going to do that. So thank you all. Especially Pastor Dan, for leading on that very controversial and potentially inflammatory issue. I love people with courage to speak truth like that, and it's a pleasure working with you all here. I yield.
All right. Thanks, Charles. I want to add something to that, Charles. You reminded me of it. On the subject of circumcision, I read a very, very good article about 2 or 3 years ago when we first got into this. It was a lady doctor, and she did the research because she's a believer too, and she is anti-circumcision. And so she did the research, and it was probably one of the best articles I've read that destroy the whole notion that Scripture is talking about circumcision the way we do it today. she did the research and found out that the procedure that was referenced in the Old Testament is a what they called a blood ritual, where the baby, in a ceremony, they did a little pinprick to get a drop of blood to show their tie to the father. That's what they did back in those days. Now, the scripture says we don't need to do that today, but in those days, they did not remove the foreskin. They took a little tiny drop of blood from the baby for a little blood ritual. It was just like a baptism. It was a sign that this baby belongs to the father, etc. But it did not involve what we're doing to these poor children today. So you can just imagine, a little tiny little pinprick to get a drop of blood is not going to traumatize anybody. All right. However, what we're doing is insane. All right. Anybody with a brain that functions, that takes the time to sit and think about what we're doing today, would have to come to the conclusion that we are completely insane mutilating our baby boys the way we're doing it. For every reason that Charles said, but it goes even beyond that, because it breaks the bond between the baby and the mother, because the baby does not see mom as the protector, because he was just put through that trauma by the very person that he should be able to feel safe with. So right there, you've done it. We do it all wrong. All wrong. The entire process of pregnancy and birthing of children today is ass backwards. And I'll stand on that till the day Father takes my breath away. Nobody is going to convince me I'm wrong. The whole birthing process, the whole dating, the whole relationship, the whole marriage, everything we're doing today is ass backwards. It's a wonder that we're still even on this earth. As screwed up as we are, we've taken the book and said, how can we piss off our Heavenly Father? How can we do that? And we've done everything we can do to piss him off. Go ahead, Angel.
Now, there are two things, I think, along with the circumcision thing. They do that to little girls, too, in some countries. They take off their clitoris, which absolutely takes away sexual stimulation for a female. But the circumcision for the man does the same thing. It makes the penis less sensitive during his time, shall we say, of enjoyment.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've read doctors on the internet. You can find it. There's tons of articles about the fact that, you know, just like my cousin said, well, it's just a useless piece of flesh. Same thing they said about the appendix, which is a lie. The appendix is part of the lymphatic system. In fact, it's a crucial part of the lymphatic system. It's not just a piece of appendage hanging there. Well, the same thing with the foreskin. It's got tens of thousands of nerve endings in it. It's part of the whole process of not only just making love, but the birthing. So it's got to do with not only the man's ability to get satisfaction from what's going on, it also aids the female. So again, we do everything ass backwards, and we think we're serving God and doing things like that when we're destroying what he put here. It all has a purpose. The more you dig into it, you find out the purpose, and you find out that we are completely insane listening to these retards in the medical mafia and in the school system telling us that, like I said, an appendix. I had a chief surgeon when my son was in the hospital, a senior surgeon in the pediatric ward came to me and told me the appendix was a useless piece. I looked at him and I took my natural health book and I opened it up to it and I said, you talking about this right here, doc? I said, this piece right here that belongs to the lymphatic system, you're trying to tell me? I said, how the hell did you stay in business this long? How did you stay in this hospital and become a senior surgeon when you don't even know anything about the lymphatic system? I said, you're an idiot.
Right on.
He and I did not get along from that point on, obviously.
Can't imagine. Okay. Yeah.
Right on, but Jay. They are contemptible. I'm telling you, they are contemptible.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, I think we've been on quite a while. I was going to ask if there was anybody that feels led to want to close this in a short prayer. Does anybody feel like it? Like Melissa, Charles, anybody, Angel? If not, I'm perfectly okay with doing it, but I just want to open it up if somebody feels led to do it.
I will, because I have the warrior prayer pulled up.
Ah, go ahead, Melissa.
Hey.
Heavenly Father, we are your warriors. Prepare us for battle. Today we claim victory over Satan by putting on the whole armor of God. I put on the girdle of truth. May we stand firm in the truth of your word so we will not be a victim of Satan's lie. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. May it guard our hearts from evil so that we will remain pure and holy, protected under the blood of Yeshua Christ. We put on the sandals of peace. May we stand firm in the good news of the gospel, so your peace will shine through us, and be a light to all we encounter. We take the shield of faith. May we be ready for Satan's fiery darts of doubt, denial, and deceit, so we will not be vulnerable to spiritual defeat. We put on the helmet of salvation. May we keep our minds focused on you, so Satan will not have a stronghold on our thoughts. We take the sword of the Spirit. May the two-edged sword of your word be ready in our hands so we can expose the tempting words of Satan. By faith, we, your warriors, have put on the whole armor of God. We are prepared to live this day in spiritual victory. In Yahshua's name, so be it.
So be it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Melissa. I'll tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and shut off the recording.